Dhrumara started off with a selfish motive, but to attain Vaikuntha, we need to be selfless. So when did that transition from selfishness to selflessness happen? And similarly, he started off with his own endeavor. By his endeavor, he got the darshan of Vishnu. But we need grace. So how much is the role of endeavor, and what is the role of grace? How should we endeavor in our spiritual life? Yeah, it's a thought-provoking question. I'll say 2-3 thoughts, and maybe you can also add. I'm sure you also have some thoughts about it. The first point would be that there is some starting impetus, and whatever it is, initially yena kena prakarena mana krishna nivesha, somehow or other fix the mind in Krishna. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yeta purusham param. Whether with material desires or no material desires, or with the desire for liberation, just start worshipping Hari. So the initial starting purpose doesn't matter so much if we are ready to change the purpose afterwards. And the most dramatic change that happens in Dhruva Maharaj is when he has the darshan of Vishnu. He has come there for the kingdom, but then he says, I don't want the kingdom. There's a devotee in Mumbai, he's a disciple of Prabhupada. He was a thief before he came to Krishna consciousness. And he saw a picture of Prabhupada wearing a Rolex watch. He thought, Swami, I can steal that watch from him. And then he came, and Prabhupada was not there at that time. He just came and stayed there in the temple for some time. The devotees were just doing some service. I started doing some service. Waiting, when will Swami come? When will Swami come? And then as the stable devotees chanted Hare Krishna. And he started practicing bhakti. And the day Prabhupada came, because he was a new person there, the devotees introduced him to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada himself took out his watch and gave it. And he said, I don't want this Prabhupada. So the transition happened. So now how did that happen? Because when he got the darshan of the Lord, there was a higher taste. And that higher taste, a higher enrichment, he said, this is better. I don't want this. So that is a very conscious decision that he made. So selflessness and selfishness can be both dispositions and decisions. Some of us, maybe almost all of us, may be selfishly disposed, in the sense that we think of ourselves first. But when a conscious juncture comes in, an important juncture comes in our life, we may simply act according to a disposition, or we may take a different decision. So he took that decision. We took that decision to turn towards the Lord. The Bhagavatam also describes how Pururava, when he lost Urvashi, he became so agitated that he performed a yajna to please Vishnu. And then Vishnu came in front of him, and although Vishnu is supremely attractive, his mind was still filled with the attractiveness of Urvashi. Told her, I want Urvashi. And then that's what he got, and Vishnu went away. So in his case, even when he saw Vishnu, his attachment was so strong that he could not change him. However, the darshan of Vishnu did not go in vain. Later on, when again Urvashi left him and he was frustrated, that frustration inspired him to go towards devotion. So we have to make that decision. When we are practicing bhakti, all we may have at present some selfish motive. That, you know, I want to be famous, I want to be appreciated, I want people to follow me, whatever. I want some position. But there is also the desire to serve Krishna. Most, if somebody had been 100% selfish, they would not be in bhakti. Because that they have followed so many rules and regulations, which involves a certain amount of giving up selflessness. But to be 100% selfless, it takes a lot of effort. So we will do the service normally in whatever level of consciousness we have. We can't artificially imagine that I am at a selfless level. We will do it the way we do it. But there will be certain crossroads that you will come to. At that time, what do we choose? Do we choose a selfish or a self-centered alternative? Or do we choose a selfless alternative? And those will determine our trajectory. So, our consciousness change happens gradually, also just by the practice of bhakti. But it is sometimes manifested dramatically at particular moments. Just like every morning when the sun rises, The sunrise is a gradual event. But if you are doing japa and chanting and walking, suddenly one day the sun has risen. Our realization that the sun has risen happens at one particular moment. Although the sun is rising constantly. Similarly, by the practice of bhakti, the journey from selfishness to selflessness is automatically happening. But there are certain moments when we become aware, when we make a conscious choice, which we might not have been able to make earlier. So Dhruva Maharaj, his motive was selfish, but when he saw the Lord, he chose the selfless option rather than the selfish option. And as far as his own endeavor was concerned, it was not just his own endeavor, because he was directed by Narad Muni. Narad Muni instructed him, do this, and he did accordingly. So endeavor is very important on the path of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada himself endeavored so much. He traveled in old age, he stayed awake or woke up early in the mornings to write his books. He's tireless in his effort to share Krishna bhakti with the world. So we understand that our endeavor alone doesn't bring the results. But we need to endeavor, we show Krishna that we want to offer him the results. Arjuna also practiced tirelessly for becoming an expert archer. And then he could use that archer in Krishna's service. So whichever service we are doing, we need to endeavor wholeheartedly in that service. Only when we endeavor wholeheartedly, we show Krishna our diligence. And the endeavor itself does not produce the result, but the endeavor shows Krishna that we want the result. Prabhupada gave an example. Once he was going on a morning walk, and there was a man who was feeding some ducks in a pond. And those ducks were quacking, and he was throwing some food to them. And there was one duck that was quacking very loudly. And the duck was quacking very loudly. And this man was giving more food to that duck. So Prabhupada said, we should be like that duck. The duck's quacking itself does not produce the food. The duck's quacking does not necessarily compel the man to give that more food to him. But the duck's quacking shows the eagerness, and the man will reciprocate. So similarly, our endeavor is showing Krishna that we want his mercy. If we think our endeavor alone produces such advancement, then that is a misunderstanding. Sometimes we may just make a full plan. I'm going to study Shastra, I'm going to chant attentively. And we make a full plan, and still our mind wanders all over the universe. Just not able to, so many things happen, we're not able to study Shastra, not able to do what we want to do. Even if we are able to do it externally, internally our consciousness doesn't stay focused. But sometimes, we may have had a stressful day, or may not have any very spiritual consciousness. We start chanting and we get absorbed. Sometimes we study Shastra and we just feel, I just want to do other things. Sometimes you study Shastra and you get absorbed in it. So why does this difference happen? Actually, it is not our endeavor is important, but Krishna's mercy also comes into picture. So, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. In that purport, Prabhupada explains that just the mechanical activity of hearing and chanting also wards off some anarthas. But not everything. The full transformation happens when it is not mechanical, but it is devotional. So we invest our consciousness in it. So when we invest our consciousness, Krishna reciprocates and he reveals himself to us. So for us, our endeavor is to try to keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Now try to be in devotional activity, be engaged in devotional activities, be in devotional association. Try as much as possible to have a devotional disposition. But ultimately, it is Krishna who will attract us. And when Krishna attracts us, then the inner struggle ceases. Till the point Krishna reveals his mercy, we show our endeavor by our struggle to focus on Krishna. But when Krishna gives his mercy, the inner struggle ceases and he becomes spontaneously attracted to it. Does that answer the question? You want to comment something, please?